The book of Revelation being the last book in the Bible, but not the last book written as arranged in most of the translations. The word Revelation, Greek apocalypsis, means uncovering. And this is what we like to do today, is to uncover some of the deeper meanings of this book. That God, the Almighty, is the book's author, and the channel of information is Jesus Christ, who sent and presented it to John by the means of the standing open in heaven. These words, after me, could refer to the events to take place after the preceding chapter. Events to take place after the seven letters to the seven churches. The word after would also could refer to the end of the gospel age, to the time the Lord stood at the door, knocking, which represents the second. This could symbolize that the church of John's day could see the coming events from the mortal standpoint. Well, John's vision described in this chapter 4 shows events seen by us, by the church people, from the spiritual standpoint. And in verse 2 we read that John was immediately in the spirit. What does it mean? John had a mental vision to understand the meaning of the future events. You need to be begotten by the Holy Spirit. Only the Spirit begotten may understand the deep things of God in proportion as they attain more a feeling of the Holy Spirit. The ability to discern spiritual things depends on the extent to which our minds are controlled by the Spirit. Spiritual understanding grows from a small beginning. A natural man cannot receive the deep spiritual things. As it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verses 7 to 16. Even a perfect man such as our father Adam could not receive the deep spiritual things. Jesus, before he had been begotten of the Holy Spirit, did not have the full understanding of the prophecies and the types of the law. And today, in today's days, many people have undertaken to interpret the things of the Holy Spirit of God and have become blind guides, leading multitudes of people into error and filling their minds with gross darkness. And we are told that John looked, and before him there was a door standing open in heaven. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. This would represent the entrance to the third heaven, to the new condition of things, as they were under the special condition of Christ, the world to come. The church class, which will become the new heavens, will be the new ruling power during the millennium age. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13, we are told, "But in keeping with his promise, we look forward to a new heavens and a new earth, the home of righteousness." New heaven, the new spiritual power in Christ's kingdom. A door often represents the opportunity to work, to serve, to witness the gospel and the other privileges that the Lord allows for his servants. John represents the church class. And the door, the open door, would not that suggest of the opportunity that has been opened for us and for those who make a covenant of sacrifice to come to a higher condition, where they are able to view matters previously hidden from them. When was the door opened? It was first opened to the new creation at Pentecost and could not be opened before. It was necessary for Jesus to make the atonement and To do this, he needed to enter heaven first with the offering of his life. This door has been opened during the whole of the gospel age, and it will stay opened until the virgins who were ready to go in with him to the wedding banquet, as we know from the parable of the 10 virgins, which is written in Matthew chapter 25. The door will close because of the full number elected, and will have attained the necessary character likeness to Christ, and will have stood the necessary testings, and then the door will be closed. Since the door was in heaven, it refers to the heavenly aspects of events, into our condition of consecration, having been begotten of the Holy Spirit in order to be able to see the heavenly things. In John chapter 16 and verse 13 we read, "But when the Spirit of the truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." John was asked to come up to heaven, as "come up hither, and I will show you." Coming up is an invitation to the high calling, which has started at Pentecost. This is the beginning of the vision. Coming up, it requires the separation and to stand higher. It is looking from the spiritual side of things, to separate our minds from the earthly things. If you like to see the heavenly things, you will need to leave the earthly things behind. To come up is to be in the world, but not of the world. John chapter 17 and verse 14. And further he says, "I will show you," King James translation, "what must take place after this." The Living Bible translation says, "What will happen in the future?" What will happen in the future? What will happen after this? Those words did not relate to the times of John's life. What sort of things will happen? Lord's second coming, as recorded in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. The rising of the church at his second coming, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 23. The restitution of all things, Acts chapter 3 and verse 21. Full understanding of God's plan, which was not understood during John's days, but it has been reserved for those which John represents, that is, at the end of the gospel age. This is the time that we live in. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12. Verse 12 tells us that "at once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it." John, being in the Spirit, received a spiritual vision. It was not a reality. It related to God's fulfillment of his plan in the future. Being in the Spirit is like being in a trance. Looking at some of the terminology in the vision, for example, in Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 1, we are told about "the hand of the Lord was upon me, and the cherub, and he brought me out of by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones." And in Ezekiel chapter 8 and 3, we've got another example, "where he stretched out the form of a hand and caught me by the lock of my head, and the Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven, and brought me in the vision of God to Jerusalem, to the entrance of the north gate of the inner court, where the seat of the idol of jealousy and provokes to jealousy was locked. For this reason, we conclude that being in the spirit, it represents being in the state of mind in which we would be able to receive visions and instructions. Being in the spirit seems to be in the state in which all of the faculties come under the divine control. In that situation, the vision could seem as if they were actually real. In John's vision, before him there was a throne. Throne in Hebrew, it means kisser, and in Greek, thronos. Basically, it means seat, especially of a special importance such as a throne. The only throne of a ruler described in detail is the one of Solomon, and where it's recorded in 1 Kings chapter 10 and verses 18 to 20. A throne, figuratively, signifies a seat of a ruling. It means authority. 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 12. A position of honor. And in the Psalms of Psalm 89 and verses 13-14, where there is a description of God's throne, His majesty or power. His position as a supreme judge has been established on the righteousness and justice from a long ago. And in Psalms 93 and verse 2, and Psalms 97:2, and in the millennium kingdom of Christ, the throne of the Father that John saw, the throne was in heaven. And this was not a literal scene of heaven. And the vision is intended to teach the symbolic lesson, to instruct us in the things that are going to happen with God's plan. A throne in heaven with someone sitting on it, so who could it be? The someone as described is the Father of the Ancient of Days, as is recorded in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9. God, the Creator of all things, our Heavenly Father, He who made the Pleiades and Orion, who turns blackness into dawn and darkness day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out over the face of the land. His name is the Lord. And in verse 3, we are told that the one who sat there in the appearance of a jasper and a carnelian stone. God is the one who sat there and is described of having an appearance of the jasper and carnelian. Brethren, remember when Moses wanted to see the glory of the Lord, when he was leading the people out of Egypt in Exodus chapter 33 and verses 17 to 23. The Lord said to Moses, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." And then we know what happened. The Lord placed Moses in a crevice of a rock and covered him with his hand. And when he had passed by, then he removed his hand, and Moses saw the back of the Lord's glory, but his face could not be seen. In John chapter 1 and verse 18 we read that no man seen God any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16 we read, "Who alone is immortal, and who lives in the unapproachable light, who no one has ever seen or can see." Many years ago, Brother Paul Malley, he said in his address, just imagine if you wanted to see God, just look at the sun in the middle of the day for a minute, and you will know what I mean. And I don't advise anybody to look at the sun, because you may become blind. I think that these words, and those who saw and understood Jesus to be the Son of God, caught the best possible glimpse of our Heavenly Father, and he that sat to look upon like a jasper, a carnelian stone. Some of the translation translate the carnelian stone as a sardine stone. What do you know about these stones? The words, look upon, like. John does not describe the look of God. But what does he do? He compares his character to two precious stones. A footnote of the Varorum translation suggests that a jasper stone is really a diamond. We know a lot about diamonds, and I think especially our young sisters know quite a lot too, as they want this type of a stone on the finger. It is one of the hardest and the most enduring stones for its purity, for its clarity, and when it's properly cut, it gives forth a radiance that no other stone can do. Jasper stone means glory and perfection. In Revelation, the bride is referred to as having glory of God, as we read in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 11. It shone with a glory of God, and with its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as a crystal. Jasper being clear or diamond stone, it could demonstrate God's nature, who is holy and worthy of the highest glory. Isaiah chapter 6 and verses 2 and 3. Also the stone could represent clear, hard truths. The second stone mentioned is the sardine or a carnelian stone. This stone is red in flesh color, representing the blood of the ransom. The sardine is one of the stones on the breastplate of the high priest, and it's placed in a very important position. This could suggest that the sardine stone represents God's love, seen in the atonement work placed on behalf of all mankind as placed first, while the jasper stone representing the glory of God comes last, which would indicate the effect of God's mercy upon the rise of making the atonement on their behalf and finally bringing them back into the harmony with himself in his own likeness. And further, in this third verse in Revelation, we are told that there was a rainbow around the throne, inside onto an emerald. A rainbow usually comes after a storm, as the sunrise, the white light enters our raindrops. It is reflected into different colors. The drop of acting like a tiny prism, each color strikes the inner surface of the drop, and it's reflected back at the different and specific angles of a rainbow colors. And this is what we can see. A rainbow, when does a rainbow come out? A rainbow comes out at a peaceful time. And it's something very beautiful. And it can represent God's grace and peace after the great storm of anarchy. The days of anarchy, we are told, are to be shortened. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 22. A rainbow represents a covenant. When a covenant was made with Noah, a rainbow was as a sign in the sky. Genesis chapter 12 and verses 9 and 17. The rainbow usually comes in seven colors. Do you know what they are? There is red, which can represent the ransom, the blue, faithfulness, yellow, godliness, the promises, green, hope, violet, kingdomship, orange, humanity, perfection, navy blue, stability in faithfulness. But the rainbow that John saw was in the color of the emerald stone, which was green. Emeralds are often used by the Egyptians to make fine quality of jewelry. rainbows are usually visible to many people, but this particular rainbow was only visible to John's class, and it possibly could represent a covenant, the great oath, bound covenant, and it was green in color. It would represent life, the freshness as all the grass and all the trees in the spring. And the vision of John hasn't ended there, but my time has. So, and my God, our Father in heaven and in this year 2016, open our minds that we could see the deeper things of the kingdom, and might the Lord add his blessing. Amen.